Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back to the Legal Nurse Podcast. This is your co-host, Kelly Campbell. We have a special guest today, Brenda Poblano. We're going to be talking about assisted living facilities. Welcome, Brenda.
Oh, hi, Kelly. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about our guest. She's a registered nurse for 38 years. She's worked in critical care, surgical intensive care for 15 years, skilled nursing facilities, home health, and as a nurse administrator of an assisted living facility for 21 years. She's been a CLNC since 2014 and has worked as an expert witness for LTC, ALF litigations. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, yes. So this is such a big industry nowadays. So what exactly is, for our listeners, ALF?
Okay. An ALF, from the word ALF, meaning assisted living facility. It ranges from a home to a big facility to a retirement community that's consisting of like independent living, assisted living, and skilled nursing. So it can be incorporated in a big company, or it can be a small house, and it's licensed and it's regulated. It might have different regulations from state to state, but there's always the similarity. You know, they might be worded differently, or maybe the governing the regulating agency will be different name, but they are all the same. We are operating under strict regulations and guidelines.
Okay. Yes, when I think of assisted living facility, I automatically thought of a small, maybe 20-bed place, but it's also considered a retirement community then also.
Yes.
Or an individual home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That I'm learning something already. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, in the state of Florida, because I'm working in the state of Florida, so let's talk more about Florida regulations. In the state of Florida, anything, if you are offering or you're giving personal assistance to six or more residents, that would be assisted living facility. If it's below six, you know, it will be adult family home care, which is different regulations.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So where, I'm in Pennsylvania, where do our listeners, or where do I find our regulations at? Where do you?
Okay. In the state of Florida, for example, it's called ACA. A-H-C-A, ACA. It's Agency for Healthcare Administration. Let's just say in the state of Georgia, they call it the regulating, the agency there is called, I think it's Department of Health, something like that. So you can just Google regulations for state of Pennsylvania, and then it will come out. Usually it's the Department of Health, or it's different names, but it's usually the same. It's the same regulations, but they worded it differently.
Okay.
Know? Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. So the take-home point is it's different sizes, and make sure you know your state regulations.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, What are some of the types of services provided in assisted living facilities?
Okay. it's really more on personal care. Okay, there's different kind of licenses. Like in the state of Florida, we have three different kinds. We have the standard license, then we have the LNS, which is called Limited Nursing Services, and the other one is ECC, or the Extended Congregate Care. Standard license, there's a lot of restrictions. You know, we cannot take care of wounds. You know, pressure sore will be only up to stage two, which is a superficial skin breakdown, or we cannot take that tube feedings. So, but if you have the other license, let's just say you have the extended congregate care license, then you are allowed to take care of tube feedings. You're allowed to take care of suprapubic catheters, or you're allowed to suction, you know, orally or nasally, or there's a lot of things that they can take care of, colostomy bags and ostomy bags, and so it depends on the licenses.
Okay, so there's varying degrees of licenses, and I'm sure that that's all the way across the states. Right. So who regulates assisted living facilities? The states.
The state, yes.
And then within the assisted living facility, there would be procedures, manuals also, if you were having to review a case.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What exactly would we be looking for?
Okay. You should be looking at the first of all, there's a thing called 1823. This is really very vital for all assisted living facility residents. This is called the health assessment form. It's a 5-page health assessment form that it's given to the doctor, the primary care doctor. It has to be done face to face. Before the resident comes in, you have to have that, or in the state of Florida, it has to be at least 60 days old before admission, or 30 days after admission. You have to have that. And the most important thing is the diagnosis. Then you have the list of their medications, and you have the ADLs. The doctor has to certify that whether she needs help with bathing or ambulation, or if there's if the resident is a fall risk or an elopement risk. So that is where you're gonna look first as a nurse consultant.
Okay.
Yes, that's very important. And you're gonna see, make sure that the facility have plan of care, you know, according to what's in that form, the 1823. You better be able to tell the plaintiff, if there's a litigation, that if the patient is an elopement risk, what were you doing for that? What are your plans of care since this patient is an elopement risk? Or fall risk. So you have to have a plan of care. Otherwise, you know, how can you defend yourself if somebody fell and you get sued and you didn't have any documentation what you were doing? Versus if, yeah, we know that she is at risk of falling, but these are the plans of care that we did. And, you know, we make sure that we have to monitor closely, or we have to escort the resident to the dining room all the time, or we have to be with her when she's taking a shower. At least you have something to show to the plaintiff attorney or to the jury that you are doing something to prevent her from falling. If they still fall, you know, then at least you did something.
Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And after the assessment list, what's the next thing that you look for or look at? Take us through a case for us. Do you mind?
Not at all. Okay. So you really have to assess the patient. Let's just say you got a call from a hospital discharge planner that I have a patient here that needs an assisted living facility. And they'll give you a verbal report, okay? You, as the administrator, you have to see this patient. You have to go there, take a look at what medications they're taking, if they have any behavior problems, if they have infection, if they have MRSA, or are they on isolation there, or, you know, you have to know this patient. Because one thing I, from based on my experience, you know, before I was like, okay, you know, when the family calls me, I need a bed for my mom, you know, how's your mom doing? Oh, she can shower by herself, she can dress herself. But when I got the patient, it's a different story.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's a different story. And then, oh, she has a bed sore. You never told me about this, you know. So it's really a big lesson learned all these years that you really have to assess the patient.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the most common citations made by the licensing agencies?
Okay, the most common citations are usually, they look at the 1823, and then they have to see if you have, let's just say, the surveyors, they look at the 1823, and then the ADLs. Let's just say they look at the ADLs, and the doctor marked independent with ambulation. And then here comes the surveyor, and she saw the caregivers pushing her on a wheelchair. Okay, so that's contradicting to what the doctor, you know, certified that she's ambulatory. And then when the inspector saw the patient, she is on a wheelchair. So that's one thing. So that's why we really have, that's one violation. And then another violation usually is medications. They are very strict with medications.
Okay.
Yes. In the state of Florida, the caregivers are allowed to assist with medication. Not administer, but to assist with medications. The resident has to be able to take the pill. Maybe they need help opening the bottles, and then maybe they need help, you know, you put the pill on their hand, make sure that they're able to put it in their mouth, and then you have to watch her swallow. That is what we call assistance with self-administered medications. You watch her swallow, and then you document.
Okay.
Document that she took the medication, that you assisted her with medications. So when the inspector comes, and some facilities, the inspector, when they walk in, they see a resident sitting in the dining room and there's pills next to them on the table. Nobody's watching them. They just put the pills in the table. That's a big violation. You never leave a medication that's
right,
open.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that one. And then also, they have to be trained, 4 hours training, and they have to have yearly medication update training. So they have to look at the employee file, make sure that they went through that. So there's a lot of things to watch for. Yes.
Okay, and that goes back to the manual policy and procedures, looking at the training records and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it goes to the regs also, what the regulations are for assistance with medications.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you say the most common cases for litigation are related to assessments and medications? Or
That's not the number one litigation. The number one is fall.
Oh, okay.
Fall. And then pressure sore.
Okay.
Pressure sore. And then elopements. That's another one. Elopement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So say we're looking in the records for this, reviewing this as a LNC. What do we look for regarding falls? How do we?
Okay. First of all, you have to see if they were high risk for falling according to the 1823.
Okay.
Okay. And then you look at the nurse's notes, if they have a plan of care, that's good. But that's not a requirement for assisted living facility. There is really no regulation in the state of Florida that I have to have a nursing care plan or a plan of care for every patient. No. But it's best practice to have those. It's best practice.
Best practice. Yes.
You have to have it in place. So there you have to have, you can show to the plaintiff attorney or to the jury that you did something with that fall risk. Okay, so so just like in the pressure sore, what were you doing? This patient is incontinent. What were you doing to prevent this pressure sore? You have to document that you change the diaper, keep her dry all the time, and you do skin care, you put skin protectant on all the time. You know, just that you are doing something. And also, you have to make sure that the patient's nutrition and hydration is adequate so that they won't have skin breakdown. And
yes.
And if they are losing weight, make sure you tell the doctor they are losing weight. The doctor might order, you know, a nutritional supplement like Ensure or Boost, you know. So, and also, you have to have a record that you're doing skin monitoring, especially those incontinent patients and those that are not ambulatory at all. They're always sitting there. You know, you got to show to them that you're doing something.
This is Pat Iyer. Before I continue, listen to this. Assisted living facility cases are specialized. This area of litigation has its own rules, regulation, and language. Who better to learn from than an attorney who spends his time litigating assisted living and nursing home cases? Attorney Sean Doolin has developed expertise in representing the victims of nursing home and assisted living malpractice. He shares his lessons learned and provides specific information that you can use to review a case involving a nursing home. Sean will enable you to understand how care is improved by lawsuits, how nursing homes try to prevent falls, which cases are difficult to win, the role of the ombudsman, the types of medical malpractice claims that occur from care in assisted living facilities versus nursing homes, how to look for quality care in a nursing home, and where to look on the internet for a rating of a nursing home. This program is called Reducing the Risks of Nursing Home Care. Purchase this program's transcript at this link, http://lnc.tips/nhc. And use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on the price. That link is http://lnc.tips/nhc. That's Nursing Harry Connor.
Elopement, that's when the assessment really is very helpful. The first day that you get a call that there's a patient that needs an assisted living facility. That's number one question. Do they have dementia? Okay, are they exit seeking at home? Do they always go out to the door? Like how many times a day they try to get out of the door? How are they doing at night? Do they sleep well at night or are they wandering around at night? That's a very important questions. And then if the family would say, The police found her one day walking out in the street. That's a big red flag, you know. So, Right. Yes. And if the doctor documents that she's an elopement risk, then you better be careful. If you are not a locked unit, you know, you should always refuse that potential resident. Yeah.
Oh, but, okay.
Yes, but sometimes, you know, these dementia patients, you'll never know what they're going to do. They were fine. They don't have any history of wandering at home. But once they are in your facility, they start wandering off, you know. So that moment, you got to transfer, move them out to a locked unit, a facility that can handle wanderers, because that's not a good fit for your facility. That's a big liability for you.
Yeah, that's a huge risk.
Right.
So, well, you certainly have provided us with a lot of information, whether plaintiff or defense, regarding assisted living facilities. What other tips do you have for us?
For the LNCs, or like as an administrator?
Well, for the LNCs, but as an administrator, I'm certain you have some tips for the LNC.
Okay, as an administrator of the facility, there is really no way of like making your facility free from litigations. No matter what you do, there is still a big chance of litigations. Even if you're following all the regulations, you know, you're following all the requirements of the licensing agency, you're very careful, you watch your residents, accidents can still happen, you know. So there's really no way of avoiding a loss, I would say.
Okay. Yes.
They will always fall. Even the strongest resident in the facility, you know, they can still fall anytime. They're walking, they're very strong. All of a sudden, their legs give way and they fell. And they broke their hip, or they have head injury. So there's really nothing to prevent those things. This is what we call non-preventable falls. You know, not all falls are preventable. But it's very, very difficult to prove that to the plaintiff attorneys.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Tell our listeners how we can reach out to you. You know so much about assisted living facilities.
Okay. You can reach me on, I have a website, which is www.pacificlegalnurse.com. And also, I'm on LinkedIn. And you can also email me at pacificlegalnurse@gmail.com. And just want to let you know that I'm doing expert work for ALF litigations. And it doesn't mean that it's only ALF cases. Anything, I had cases that I was like hired because the lawsuit was against a CNA. So I can be involved as an expert witness for CNA, since I am supervising CNAs every day. So, okay. Yeah, so that will be still in my expertise. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Today was so very informative. We really appreciate it. Okay, listeners, don't forget, you can get this podcast transcribed. It may be very beneficial for a case that you have coming down your way soon. Tune in next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, LNCEU.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at LNCU.com. And my last website, the LNCAcademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at LNCAcademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.